There are moments in life where everything changes with a single invitation. Just in a moment, everything can change. And Daphne's experiencing that even right now. Like, there will be the whirlwind of wedding planning leading up to August. But sometimes it's a phone call, sometimes it's a conversation, sometimes it's a quiet moment when someone says something simple and yet powerful. Come with me. An invitation. Those moments can alter the entire direction of our lives. A job opportunity can change the path of a career. A proposal can change the course of a life. A conversation with the right person at the right moment can reshape the future. The invitation is simple, and the implications are profound. In Luke chapter 5, that's where we're going to be today, we encounter several of those life-altering invitations. And Jesus begins gathering people who will walk with him through his ministry. These are individuals who will witness his miracles. They'll hear his teachings. They'll struggle with doubt. They'll eventually help carry the message of the gospel around the world. And Luke wants us to see immediately something deeply encouraging. Jesus doesn't begin, hear this, Jesus doesn't begin with the powerful or the impressive. He doesn't start with the religious elite or the scholars of the law. He begins with ordinary people, fishermen, a man suffering with disease that had isolated him from society, a paralyzed man who couldn't even walk, and a tax collector whom everyone hated. In every encounter, we see the pattern. The same pattern emerges. Jesus meets people exactly where they are. He calls them to follow him and then begins to transform their lives through his grace. Luke wants us to understand that there's something really important here. The call to follow Jesus is the invitation that transforms ordinary lives. Beginning with chapter 5, verse 1, it says, "On one occasion, while the crowd was pressing in on him to hear the word of God, he was standing by the lake of Gennesaret. And he saw two boats by the lake, but the fishermen had gone out of them and were washing their nets. Getting into one of the boats," I'm going to borrow this for a second, okay? "Getting into one of the boats, which was Simon's, he asked him to put out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people from the boat. And when he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, 'Put out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch.' And Simon answered, 'Master, we toiled all night and took nothing, but at your word, I will let down the nets.' And when they had done this, they enclosed a large number of fish, and their nets were breaking. They signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both the boats so that they began to sink." Like, thanks. "But when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, 'Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord.' For he and all who were with him were astonished at the catch of fish that they had taken. And so also were James and John, sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, 'Do not be afraid. From now on, you'll be catching men.' And when they had brought their boats to land, they left everything and followed him." So picture this. The crowds are pressing in around Jesus. They're eager to hear the word of God. And people are gathering from every direction. The shoreline is becoming crowded. And Jesus sees two fishing boats over on the shoreline and hops in one. The fishermen, they're busy doing their stuff, cleaning nets and making sure that there's no holes in them. But they're tired after a long night's work. And among those fishermen is Simon, who we later know as Peter. And Luke tells us that Jesus steps into Simon's boat and asks him to push out a little from shore. And from there, Jesus sits down in the boat, and he begins teaching the crowd. And after the teaching's finished, Jesus says, "Want to go fishing? Put out your nets in the deep." So imagine how this would have sounded to Simon. Jesus is a carpenter, not a fisherman. The professionals have been working to no avail, but they've been doing what they knew to do. They spent the entire night and caught nothing. Night was the best time to fish in those waters. The professionals knew that. It's the dark hours where the fish are easier to catch. By morning, those opportunities are past. And Jesus says, put out your nets. So Peter, the professional fisher, this is his world. And he just responds by saying, Master, we toiled all night, took nothing, but at your word, I'll let down the nets. There's something beautiful in that statement. Peter acknowledges the reality of the situation. He has experience. He understands the odds. From a human perspective, the instruction doesn't make sense. But he also says something else. At your word. Peter chooses obedience even when the outcome seems unlikely. They lower their nets and suddenly the water explodes with movement. There's fish everywhere. It's Fish Fest 2000. Fish begin, they begin filling the net faster than they can handle, and the nets, they stretch and they strain and they begin to tear, and the boat starts to, like, get out here, help us. And so another boat comes and they're pulling in the net, and both boats are beginning to sink because of the amount of fish. This isn't just a miracle of provision. It's a moment of revelation. In that moment, Simon realizes something about Jesus that he had not fully understood before. He falls down at Jesus' knees and says, depart from me, for I'm a sinful man, O Lord. So in this moment, Simon becomes acutely aware of exactly who he is and exactly who he's standing in front of. When people encounter the holiness and power of God, they often become deeply aware of their own brokenness. I do. Day by day. So Simon suddenly sees the gap between who Jesus is and who he is. But notice how Jesus responds. Jesus doesn't step away from, oh, wait a minute, you're sinful? He doesn't rebuke him. He doesn't say, you're right, Simon. Yeah, you are way too far gone. Instead, he says something that reveals the heart of God. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. And then he adds an incredibly remarkable statement. From now on, you're going to be catching men. From now on, I'm going to make you a fisher of men. Jesus takes Simon's ordinary life and transforms it into a calling. Simon had spent his life catching fish, or maybe even some nights not catching fish. And now he'll help bring people into the kingdom of God. Luke tells us that when they brought the boats in, landed on shore, and they left everything. Think about this. Huge catch. Someone take care of those. Because I got to follow this guy. I've been called. They left their nets. They left their boats. They left their livelihoods. But they didn't lose their purpose. They actually discovered it. Jesus has stepped into the ordinary workday and turned it into the beginning of a transformed life. And the same still happens today. Still. Jesus meets people in ordinary places. Workplaces, homes, routines, conversations, coffee houses, grocery store lines. Walking down the street, Jesus meets people in ordinary places. And he invites them into a far greater life than we've ever imagined. Continuing on. While he was in one of the cities, there came a man full of leprosy, and when he saw Jesus, he fell on his face and begged him, Lord, if you will, you can make me clean. And Jesus stretched out his hand and touched him, saying, I will be clean. And immediately the leprosy left him. And he charged him to tell no one, but go and show yourself to the priest and make an offering for your cleansing, as Moses commanded, for a proof to them. But now, even more, the report about him went abroad, and great crowds gathered to hear him and to be healed of their infirmities. But he would withdraw to desolate places and pray. So in the ancient world, leprosy was devastating. It was a death sentence. It wasn't just a physical disease, it was a social sentence. People with leprosy were removed from society. They lived isolated lives outside of their community. They were considered ceremonially unclean. Families were separated, lives were disrupted, hope was often lost because I have leprosy and there's no coming back from this. And I can't be around other people. So imagine the kind of isolation, what that would do to a person's spirit. This man sees Jesus and falls on his face before him. Lord, if you will, you can make me clean. Notice the faith. He doesn't question Jesus' ability. He doesn't say, if you can do this. Instead, he says, if you will. He knows Jesus has the power. The only question in his mind is whether Jesus is willing to or not. And many people still ask that same question. Is God willing to help someone like me? Is Jesus willing to forgive what I've done? Is grace really available for someone who has gone as far as I have? Jesus answered that question in a stunning way. Luke says Jesus stretched out his hand and touched him. He touched him. This detail is incredibly important. People did not touch lepers. That's how you became unclean. Touching someone with leprosy would make you unclean. Everyone kept their distance. As a matter of fact, if you had leprosy, you actually, if people were coming, there was a declaration, unclean, unclean, go away, leave, unclean, good. You had to announce yourself so that no one even accidentally bumped into you and touched you. Everyone kept their distance, but Jesus moved closer, stepped to him. He touches the man. Grace moves towards brokenness. And Jesus says, I will be clean. Immediately, the leprosy's gone. In that moment, Jesus does more than heal a disease. He restores a life. A man who had lived isolated from society is suddenly able to return to his community. Think about, maybe with some skepticism, the family reunion as he comes back into the community. Wait a minute, what? You're good? Brother. That's the heart of Jesus. He's not repelled by human brokenness. He moves towards it. Continuing along. On one of those days, as he was teaching Pharisees and teachers of the law were sitting there. They'd come from every village of Galilee and Judea and Jerusalem, and the power of the Lord was with him to heal. And behold, some men were bringing on a bed a man who was paralyzed, and they were seeking to bring him in and lay him before Jesus. But finding no way to bring him in, okay, guys, you can start lowering. Finding no way to bring him in, because of the crowd, they went up on the roof and let him down with his bed through the tiles into the midst before Jesus. And when he saw their faith, he said, man, your sins are forgiven you. And the scribes and the Pharisees began questioning, saying, who is this who speaks blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God alone? When Jesus perceived their thoughts, he answered them, why do you question in your hearts? Which is easier to say, your sins are forgiven, or to say, rise and walk? But that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins, he said to the man who was paralyzed, I say to you, rise, pick up your mat, pick it up, and go home. And immediately he rose up before them and picked up what he had been lying on, and went home glorifying God. And amazement seized them all, and they glorified God and were filled with awe, saying, we have seen extraordinary things today. So these men are desperate. They want to bring their friend to Jesus for healing, but the crowd makes it impossible to access, to enter, to get into the space that Jesus was in teaching. And so they do something creative, maybe a little bit destructive. They climb up on the roof, and they start tearing the roof off the mother. And they lower their friend down. It's a George Clinton song. They climb onto the roof, and they remove some of the tiles, and they lower their friend down directly in front of Jesus. Imagine what that moment must have looked like. Dust is falling from the ceiling. What the heck is going on? And this man descends slowly down into the center of the room. And Luke tells us when Jesus saw their faith, he said, man, your sins are forgiven you. And then maybe looked up at them and said, and you guys too, but please fix the roof. I'm adding in, sorry. That statement shocks the religious leaders in the room, though. They begin questioning in their hearts. They don't verbalize it, but it's in their hearts. Who is this speaking blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God alone? And in one sense, they're absolutely correct. Only God can forgive sin, which is exactly the point that Jesus is making. Jesus knows what they're thinking, and he asks them which is easier, right? Your sins are forgiven, or rise and walk. Well, but wait, there's more. It's a two-for-one special today. But that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins. He turns to the paralyzed man and he says, I say to you, rise, pick up your bed and go home. And so the man stands up. He picks up the mat that he once was carried on and he walks out before all of them. The crowd's amazed and they glorify God and they say, we've seen extraordinary things today. Can I just divert for a second? We need to get more comfortable with expecting to see extraordinary things today. That we would believe wholeheartedly, even as we prayed for Ken this morning, that we would believe wholeheartedly that healing can happen instantaneously. Not because I'm a healer, I have the gift of healing. No, because God, through the power of the Holy Spirit, empowers healing to take place. We need to become more comfortable with getting uncomfortable. And actually, even as I talked about last week about stepping into the authority that Jesus has given to us, that we need to begin to be more bold in our prayers and expectant, asking God for things that only he can do and believing fully that he will do it. Not if you can, if you will. You can do this. The greatest miracle in that moment wasn't the healing of the man's legs so that he could walk, even though that was spectacular. It was the forgiveness of his sins. Jesus didn't come merely to improve lives. Some of you have back pain. I have back pain. Some of you have knee pain. Some of you have shoulder pain. Some of you have pain. It's everywhere all the time. Jesus didn't come just so that you could have a better life, so that you could feel better, so you could improve. Like, oh, my knees are better. Yay, Jesus. No, he came to redeem us. He came to save us. He came to give us life everlasting. At which point, the back, the knees, the shoulders, the elbows, the head and shoulder, knees and toes, all of it, you'll be fine. Eternity in heaven, there's new bodies, and there's joints that last forever. Get bold. After this, he went out and saw a tax collector named Levi sitting at the tax booth, and he said to him, follow me. And leaving everything, he rose and followed him. And Levi made him a great feast in his house, and there was a company of tax collectors and others reclining at table with them. And the Pharisees and their scribes grumbled at his disciples, saying, why do you eat and drink with tax collectors and sinners? Why? And Jesus answered them, those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. I've not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Levi, also known as Matthew, is a tax collector. Tax collectors are downright dirty, dubious, delinquent people. They're disliked, They worked for the Roman government. They often collected more money than was required, and so they could enrich themselves. They were seen as traitors by their people. And yet Jesus looks at this man sitting in his booth and says two simple words, follow me. Luke tells us Levi leaves everything. He rises and he follows him. And then Levi throws this great banquet. And the tax collectors, it's like the tax collector party, and they all gather there. And they share a meal with Jesus. And the religious leaders are scandalized through it all. They ask the disciples, why? Why would you do such a thing? Why would you eat with them? And Jesus answers with words that reveal the mission of his ministry. Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. Jesus describes himself as a physician. The world is the hospital. He came for the sick. He came for the sinners. He came for people who know they need grace. Luke didn't record these stories simply so that we could admire what happened to other people long ago. They're here because they reveal the heart of Jesus. And that heart hasn't changed. The same Jesus who stood on the shoreline of Galilee still speaks today. The same voice that called Peter out of his boat still calls people out of ordinary lives and into something greater today. The same hands that touch the leper still reach out toward people who feel untouchable, unseen, unloved. The same authority that forgave the paralytic still offers forgiveness today. And the invitation is still the same. Follow me. When Jesus spoke those words to Peter, it meant leaving the nets behind. The nets represented security, identity, the life that he had always known. And yet, Peter discovered that life, the life that Jesus offers, is always greater than the life that we try and build for ourselves. When Jesus calls Levi, it meant standing up from the tax booth and walking away from the life that he had built. But in that moment, Levi recognized that grace, the grace that was being offered to him. He was offering him pleasure. The call of Jesus always brings us to a moment of decision. It's possible to admire Jesus, to appreciate his teaching, to even agree with his message, but never really, truly follow him. But Jesus doesn't say, consider me. He doesn't even add, like, when things are convenient for you, go ahead, let's hang out. Jesus says, follow me. And the beautiful truth of the gospel is that this invitation is not reserved for perfect people. It's not the beautiful people. It's not the special people. It's all people. Peter had a past and would still stumble in the future. The leper came to Jesus carrying shame and isolation. The paralytic came helpless. Really hadn't had no choice in the thing. His friends brought him there. He was unable to change his situation. Levi had a reputation that most people believed was beyond redemption. And yet Jesus called every one of them. Because Jesus does not call people based on who they have been. Hear that. Jesus doesn't call people based on who they have been. He calls them based on what his grace can make them become. Some people hesitate to follow Jesus because they think they need to fix their lives first. Luke 5 shows us the opposite. People don't clean themselves up before coming to Jesus. They come as they are. And it's in following him that begins to change everything. And the same invitation stands before us today. Some of you may feel like Peter, just living ordinary life, but sensing that there must be something more. Some may feel like the leper, just wounded and wondering if grace could reach someone like you. Could you be loved? Could you be touched? Could you be cared for? Others may feel stuck like the paralytic, knowing you need help, but you're unsure how to move forward. And some may feel like Levi, just carrying choices from the past that seem impossible to undo. And yet Jesus still comes near, and he says the same words, follow me. And I need to be clear about what that means. to follow Jesus is to turn from your sin and trust him with your life. It's to stop trying to save yourself and receive the salvation he has already accomplished for you. It's to believe that his death was for your sin and that his resurrection means new life is available to you today. This isn't about becoming more religious. This is about being made new. And this is the moment. For Peter, the nets were left behind. For Levi, the tax booth was abandoned. For each of them, there was a moment where everything changed. And for some of you, that moment is right now. Not later, not someday, but right now. This is the moment. You know who you are. You've been around church, but you've never surrendered your life to Jesus. You've believed things about him, but you've never trusted him with your sin, with your with the stuff that you hope no one else knows. You've tried to clean yourself up, but you've never received his grace. And today, Jesus is not asking you to fix yourself. He's inviting you to come to him, to lay down your sin, to lay down your past, to lay down your striving. And so I want to give you a clear opportunity to respond, to receive forgiveness, to receive a new life. If today you're ready to follow Jesus, to turn from your sin and place your faith in him, I want you to respond right where you are. And I want you to simply pray with me. Jesus, I give you my life. I turn from my sin and I trust you as my Savior. Thank you for dying for me. Thank you for forgiving me. Lead me from this day forward because I choose to follow you. And Scripture tells us that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. This is the moment. The invitation is open. Grace is available and new life is here. So will you follow him? Jesus, thank you for calling ordinary people to follow you. Thank you for your invitation that's not based on our perfection, but on your grace. You met fishermen in their work, a leper in his suffering, a paralyzed man in his helplessness, and a tax collector in his broken choices. And Lord, today you still meet us. We are them. Give us the courage to respond to your call. Help us to surrender the things that hold us back and to trust you with our whole lives. Lord, would you transform us by your grace and your mercy and use us to bring others into the hope that we have found through you. Today, Lord, again, we choose to follow you. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to encourage you, don't hide. If one of you or many of you were ones that prayed that prayer, we want to connect with you. We want to celebrate with you, and we want to help you grow so that you will be a disciple. Jesus has not called us through the Great Commission to go and make converts. It's not about just crossing a line and you're done. Otherwise, we could just drag you out to the dumpster and leave you because job's done. We've been called to make disciples, which means we want to walk with you and help you grow in your walk with him. And so if you are one who has made the choice to follow Jesus today, we want to connect with you so that we can intentionally help. Amen? As we were singing that song, there was a conviction from the Holy Spirit just as far as where sometimes we have failed to do what this says. And I point it in this way, and Peter and Deborah, Kim, Betty, Josh, Nikki, I'm just going to ask you to be available as service wraps up. Kevin and Sylvia, Bill and Robin, is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing praise. Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him or her, anointing them with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. And then this is where, for all of you, be available. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person has great power as it is working. If there's any of you that need prayer for healing, don't leave here. Please, we're going to make space. I'm right down the hall, this prayer room. And that's going to be a space. They'll be in there, and you can go. Don't leave here without going and being prayed for and anointed with oil. And believe that Jesus will, because he can. For any of you who are struggling, have challenges, have a need, we are a family, we are a body of believers, and so confess your sins one to another. Ask for prayer, ask for help. We are a community, and so lean on one another. Step out. Yes. She said. Say it again. You are free to be free. Would you all just put your hands out to receive? And as you go from this place today, remember the invitation that Jesus still speaks. Follow me. May you have the courage of Peter to leave behind what holds you back. May you know the healing touch of Christ in every place of brokenness. May you walk in the freedom of sins forgiven and grace received. And may the Lord lead you into a life that reflects his mercy, carries his hope, and draws others towards him. Go in the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.